want to ask your blessing upon your word. We thank you for your word. Lord, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you that in this book you have given us instruction on how to live our lives. In every sort of situation, in every way. And Lord, this morning as we focus on marriage, I pray, Lord, that your word would just speak truth to our hearts. Lord, I pray for any marriages in our fellowship that are hurting. God, that you would completely change them and turn them around. Lord, that the marriages in this fellowship and among Christians in general would be beautiful. Beautiful marriages. Lord, teach us. Instruct us by your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kim and I have been married now for a little over 2 years. We just celebrated our second year anniversary this month. And it's been a blessing. It's been a wonderful time of being married. I can't remember a time when I wasn't married to Kim. I'm having the hardest time remembering what life was like without my wife, my dear wife. In fact, we have a little kind of joke that we talk about. We say, you know, we've been married since we were 7. Because that's what it feels like. It's hard to remember what life was like. I'll never forget when I did ask her to be my wife. It was a Sunday morning. We skipped church, believe it or not. And I went and picked her up very early on a Sunday morning, and we went out to Glorieta, which is a beautiful little, it's a Baptist church camp up there, just north of Santa Fe. And we went walking in the prayer gardens, and we had a little brunch that I put together for her. We celebrated communion, read a little bit from the Word of God, and then I brought the ring out and I popped the question. And she said yes. And we were so excited, so happy. You know how it's like, man. You can't wait to get home and tell everybody. But it was interesting because we found out that there were a couple of different responses that we would get when we would tell people how excited we were to be getting married. Of course, our family and our friends were very excited. Praise God. Christians in general were very excited. But there were other people in the world. And there was even a few Christians, I might add, that were cordial at best. Congratulations, you're getting married. But the look on their face told you that they thought you were throwing your life away. I had one guy literally tell me that, kiss my pocketbook goodbye. Kiss my freedom goodbye. Kiss my life goodbye. But congratulations, you know, very close. I think we would all admit that in this day and age and in this society, people are pessimistic towards marriage. There's a pessimism with marriage. And I think it's because too many people have seen too many marriages fail. Or have been through marriages that failed. And there's a pessimism toward it. Olivia Newton-John, she was once asked why it took her so long to get married. And she shared how when she was 10 years old, her parents went through a devastating divorce. She said, you know, it's hard to believe a relationship can last when you've never seen one. And I think a lot of people get that pessimism because they've seen marriages end in failure and in divorce. There's another subtle, more subtle way, though, that I think this pessimism comes from. That is that people observe marriages, but they look at these marriages and they see that they're lifeless. That many times they'll look at a marriage and husband and wife are living together, but they're not happy. They make jokes at one another. They cut one another down. Maybe they seem bored in their marriage. And I think people look at that and they say, marriage. Old-fashioned. Won't last. As Christians, our marriages should be beautiful and dynamic. Gorgeous. Display of beauty before the world. That is what God wanted. God is into marriage. He invented it. Last week we talked about how God, in the story of creation, how He looked upon His work and He would say, He would complete some work and He would say, "Oh, that's good. That's good." But did you know that there was one time in the creation story where He looked upon something and said, "That's not good"? And it was when He looked upon Adam and He saw that it was just Adam and Eve hadn't been created. And He said, "It's not good that man should be alone." And so then He created Eve. And you remember when Eve was presented towards Adam, it was kind of like this, "Wow, God." And he became a poet. Adam, the first poem in the Bible was when a man looked on his wife. It was good. It's meant to be beautiful. Our marriages are meant to be beautiful. But listen, they will and can be beautiful if we do what God says. There are God-given roles for wives and husbands. He wants our marriages to be beautiful, but He wants us to do it His way. And this morning, I want us to look at that. I want us to look at our roles as husbands and our roles as wives. Now, I recognize that there are many people here that are not married. You may be someday soon. So listen up and be prepared for that. I also want to make mention of some things that even the single folks should be thinking about as they're looking for spouses and whatnot this morning. First of all, let's consider the role of being a Christian wife. What that means. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 1. "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Wives, let's talk to you for a moment. Our roles, according to the Scripture, according to the Bible. Now, I want to make that clear. This isn't the newest psychology, you know, this book on psychology. This isn't the sequel to "Men Are From, What, Mars?" and, you know, that kind of stuff. This is God's Word. This is what God said. The one who invented marriage, the one who invented women, the one who invented men, the one who decided how He would have a marriage operate. So consider that. The first word that comes to our mind and comes to our in the Scripture is submission. And that is a word that we must talk about when it comes to the roles of wives. Submission. Tough word for some women. Even a tougher word for some men who abuse it. But that is one of the roles of a wife, is to be submissive to her own husband. Now, we have talked about this word submission over the last couple weeks. The word in Greek, I get to say it again, I love it, it's kind of a funny sounding word, hupotasso in Greek. Submission is hupotasso, under, arranging yourself under, submitting yourself, willingly subjecting yourself. We were talking about how, as Christians, we are to willingly subject ourselves to the government a couple weeks ago. Last week we spoke about willingly subjecting ourselves to our bosses at our place of work. Well, this morning that same word is used of women, to subject themselves to the authority, to place themselves under the authority of the husband. That may sound tough, ladies. It may. But listen, you got to understand. There's something you must understand about submission. Submission has nothing to do with capability. Submission has everything to do with order. When God said, wives, be submissive to your husbands, He wasn't saying, wives, you are inferior to your husbands. No way. Absolutely not. It has everything to do with order. Remember, these are roles that God has established. The Bible clearly teaches that the man is the head of the home and the head of the wife. A wife is to accept her place in the family under the leadership of her husband, whom God has placed as head in the home. Submission. I think there's three reasons why submission is such a hard pill for some to swallow. Number one, because it flies in the face of what you're told in society today, isn't it? Doesn't it, wives? It really does. I mean, to tell people and admit in front of other women, hey, I'm supposed to be submissive to my husband, they're going to look at you and go, what kind of an old-fashioned, weird world did you come from? Because it seems to fly in the face of what society is telling women. The women are to be these very strong, powerful figures in society. And that somehow, if you're at home being submissive to your husband, you're a flunky. Well, maybe you're a flunky in the world, but God says that this is very precious in His sight. Very precious. It flies in the face because society is telling women different things. Secondly, it flies in the face of, it's a hard pill to swallow because there have been many Christian men who have abused this concept. They've used this submission as a way to unfairly treat their wives. Now, I heard of an extreme case of this. When I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, they had trouble with this verse. Not the seminary, but at that time they were just beginning to bring foreigners from overseas to the seminary to instruct them. And some of these foreigners took this verse to an extreme, to the point where wives had to get on their knees to ask permission of these men. Completely, totally false, completely incorrect interpretation of submission. And when the Dallas Theological Seminary professors found out about it, they corrected it very quickly. There are abuses. Some will abuse it. But it shouldn't be abused, guys. Submission, as we're going to speak of in a minute, is a beautiful gift that a wife can give to you. The other reason that this is sometimes hard for women to swallow is because they see this, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And then we read of other passages in Scripture where it says that there's male leadership, God ordained male leadership in the church. And so there are many women that look at this book as being degrading towards women. And that in general, the Bible says a woman is inferior to a man. And they try to propagate that error, which is completely and totally false. We never saw that. Jesus went out of His way to talk with women, even in public, when it wasn't of the culture to do so. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus did more for women in that day than many of the other leaders and political leaders of that day. Look, it says, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Not everybody else's husband. The Bible is not saying that women are to be subjected to men in society in general. And I think that's a problem that many women get and many people falsely think that the Bible is saying. The Bible does not say that women are to be submissive to men in all areas of society. You know what? There's two places. The marriage and in the church. And it's not for inferiority reasons. It is for order. It's the only reason. It is for order. God said there should be an order. God established an order. And you know what? He's got the right recipe for order. The man should be in leadership. He should be head of the home. Ladies, submission is a very special gift that you can give to your husband. It's something that is very precious in the eyes of the Lord. To willingly place yourself under the leadership of your husband. Verse 5, it says, "For in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." You know, the example here, and it's noted, the Scripture says, like the holy women of past, who adorned themselves with submission towards their husbands. It was like it stood out. It was good. It was a special gift that Sarah would have that much respect for Abraham. And I'll tell you what, ladies, if you give that gift of submission to your husband, you know how incredibly awesome that makes the guy feel. It's such a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful way to tell your husband, "I love you." And it's a beautiful way to obey God. Notice also, though, in verse 5, it's not just a gift. It's a primary way, wife, of showing that you're trusting in God. You are trusting in God when you submit to your husband. "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Hey, look. In submitting and placing yourself under the authority of your husband, that is a way that you are showing that you are trusting in God. Trusting in God that He has said what is right concerning your role, and trusting in God that He is going to use the husband primarily as the one to lead the direction of the home. Now check this out, wives, ladies. Check this out. Think about an issue that maybe you've had with your husband. You've talked. And maybe you've come to a point of disagreement. If at that point when you disagree, you look your husband right in the eyes and you say, "Well, you know how I feel about this, honey. But let me tell you what. I'm trusting God that He's going to lead you to do what's right for your family. I'm trusting God. You know how I feel about this, but I'm going to submit to what you want. I'm trusting God that He is going to lead this family through your decision." Guys, how would you feel? Well, number one, you'd get very, very serious about that decision, I would hope. Because now, guess what, guys? The responsibility in that decision for you leading your home is on your shoulders. And you have a wife that is asking God, praying to God, trusting God that you are going to make the right decision. You see how that works? It causes the guy to fulfill his role better. And that's one of the secrets of these roles of the man and wife. The better you fulfill your role, the easier you make it for the other person to fulfill their role. It's a beautiful thing. Submission. It's a gift. And it shows that you're trusting in the Lord. I want to say a quick word to those who are single and maybe dating. You might ask yourself questions about submission before you get married rather than after. You might say to yourself, "Could I submit to this guy? Does this guy trust God? Does he make good decisions? Or is she more quiet? Are you sensitive to that? Do you understand your wife? How about spiritually? Do you understand what she needs to grow in the Lord?" Guys, as heads of the home, as loving our wives as Christ loves the church, we dwell with them with understanding. And then thirdly, we give honor to them. Giving honor to the wife. as to the weaker vessel. Giving honor. The same word is price. It's pricey, the Greek word means. Lots of value there. It means to esteem great honor to the wife. To tell her how valuable she is and to esteem her, to honor her. That is something that you are to do as a husband. Now, I think there's women that take offense to the weaker vessel portion of this verse. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Is this a put down? No, it's not a put down. I'll tell you what I think it means here in a minute. But it can also mean, let's face it, men on average are stronger than women. It could be speaking of the physical aspects. God has made men and women different. Men on average are stronger than women. That's true. And it'd be kind of funny if it weren't. In fact, that's part of the attraction between men and women. You know, every now and then Kim will, you know, she'll been struggling with a jar or something, you know, and she'll come, "Hey, Terry, could you come open this jar for me?" And I act like it's no big deal, but guys, I know you're thinking this. "Sure, honey, I'll open the jar." There you go. You like that feeling, don't you? It kind of gets to you. It'd be a little bit weird the other way around, wouldn't it? Look, let's just talk back here. Women on average are a little weaker. It's not a put down. It's not a put down. In fact, I see in it, since it's tied with that command to honor your wife, that it's to honor her as a fragile, beautiful, delicate gift from the Lord. As the weaker vessel. But you know, you got that precious vase that you love. And you protect that vase. Or that beautiful flower. You don't want it to break. It's precious. It's your prized possession. That's what your wife should be like. That you honor her in that way as a highly esteemed. One of the things I really enjoy is my guitar here. I love it. And in fact, you got to be very careful when you walk around it, because I'll be watching. I don't want it to fall over. Every now and then, Kim may be vacuuming and she might get a little close to it and I'll get a little jumpy. Because it's a very important item to me. I like it and I don't want it to break. Same kind of idea, I think, here. The most beautiful blessing in your life, guys, is your wife. And you are to honor her. Honor her. Honor her. Fourthly, it says, as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Guys, this is very important as well. Dwell with them, understanding. With understanding, honor them. But also, look, recognize that we are joint heirs together. We're equals. We're joint heirs. We're heirs together in the grace of life. Folks, as husband and wife, you are heirs together. God is giving us the gift of life to enjoy together. If you're Christians, God has given you salvation to enjoy together. And so, this is what makes the submissive part of the wife's role easier. The man should recognize that. The man should not be submit, submit, submit. The man should be discussing. The man should place value on what the wife would have to say about certain situations, because you're heirs together. And so the husband, as a good leader, as someone who loves his wife, as Christ loved the church, would speak with her, communicate, and seek to make decisions with her consent. Listen, if a guy is leading like that, it's going to be so easy for the wife to give that gift of submission back. I believe the bulk of the responsibility lies on the man. He should be loving his wife as Christ loves the church, in these ways. God wants your marriage to be beautiful. God wants your future marriage to be beautiful. Turn left a little bit real quick. We'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 5. Sorry, it's so hot in here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. What Paul has to say on the subject. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Marriage is illustrative of Christ's relationship with the church. It is a beautiful display before the world of how Christ loves the church. Does God want that to be beautiful? Absolutely. Marriage is a relationship that should be displaying Christ's relationship with his church. It's a picture of that. Why wouldn't God not want something like that to be beautiful? God wants your marriage to be beautiful. When you obey God and you do it God's way, your marriage will be beautiful. And as I've said before, the better you fulfill your roles, the better it allows the other person to fulfill their role. And it just brings you closer and closer and closer, more beautiful, more beautiful, more beautiful. Can you imagine what happens in the world when they see a beautiful marriage? What was that? Because they don't see marriages like that. As Christians, may our marriages be beautiful. For those of you who are not married and single, your spouse is the Lord. Jesus is your spouse. Nurture that relationship with Him. Serve Him. Glorify Him. Work for Him. God will bring you your husband or your wife in His time. And believe me, it's much better when it's His time. Heavenly Father, we thank You for marriage. We thank You for the blessing that it is. I pray, Lord, that You would grant us all beautiful marriages. Lord, that You would be the center of our homes. I pray that You would cause the husbands in this room to dwell with and understand and honor their wives. To love their wives as Christ loved the church. I pray for the wives here this morning that they would give that beautiful gift of submission to their husband, that their conduct would be innocent, pure, and holy, that You would give them that gentle, quiet, but powerful spirit. Lord, we want our marriages to be precious in Your eyes. We ask that they would be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.